Well, today is our first Sunday in the month of August. Hard to believe the month of August has already begun. Two more weeks, Danny will be back. He'll be finishing out his senior year at our Christian school. And that's hard to believe. And so we're looking forward to that. But today being August the 7th, 2022, I want to ask you a question. How many of you know the deacons in our church and who they are? Yeah, okay. He knows himself. Amen. That's good. If you are a deacon in this church, I want you to stand up just a moment, okay? Buck is back there walking around, but if you're a deacon in our church, I want you to stand up a minute. We got several in our class here, all right? Got several of them. Got Don Graff and Mark Peterson, Buck Bowers, Steve Bond, Mike Goodwin, and these are just a few of the, where, who? Oh, Mike Mangum, yeah, I'm sorry. I missed Mike back there. These are the few that are in our class. These are a few that are in our Sunday school class, all right? And the reason I'm introducing them to you today is because our lesson today, dealing with where's your church going, it's entitled Selected to Serve. And it's talking about the deacons. It's talking about from the Word of God who they are. Now, it doesn't mention their names. They probably could have, but they weren't in there at that time. But it gives the responsibilities. And we're going to be looking at those things today from the Word of God. Some of you think that they're, you know, deacons are just chosen. I know down south where we're from, if you were a certain member in the family or something like that, man, they'd choose you. And, you know, it was just crazy, just a strange way of doing things. But you know what? There is a biblical way of selecting those leaders in your church. And we're going to be looking at that today. I've got a list of all the names here. If you'd like a copy of that or something, so you can pray for these men, I would encourage you to take time to pray for them and ask the Lord to strengthen them and give them wisdom in the things that they do for the Lord. And they are here to be a help and encouragement to the pastor, to help our church stay on track, and to help him with things that he physically cannot do by himself. And we're going to look at that today. And I know that these leaders in our church are selected each year. At the end of the year, you know, we vote on the different ones that are brought before us to be deacons. Some come on for a year, off for a year, on for 2 or 3 years, whatever it is. But these men have an important part, and they play an important part, and I appreciate them. And you know what? They help us keep our church on track, doing what we need to be doing, helping the pastor with things, encouraging his heart. As Aaron and Hur lifted up the hands of Moses during the battle with the Amalekites, so these men of God lift up the pastor's hands and encourage and strengthen him at the same time. Give him wisdom in areas that he may not know what to do about. And I'm thankful for him today. Over in the book of Exodus, back in the days of Moses, Moses dealt with a problem trying to do things all by himself. But I want you to see a story here just a moment. In Exodus chapter number 18, I'm going to share this story with you. Again, our lesson is entitled Selected to Serve. In Exodus chapter 18, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible said, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers over hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter shall they bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people and rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. They judged the people at all seasons. In hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way unto the land. Now, I know the situation that Moses was in here is a little different than what the choosing of the men of God here in our deacon program is, but the point is this. Moses was not able to do all the work by himself. And there were things that needed to be done by other men that God would allow them to use and to utilize their skills and their talents in many ways. And the same way that God allowed Moses to make that decision and choose out good and godly men, so each church needs to have some good and godly men that will help the pastor with the things in the church. And you know, the deacon is to be a man that's full of the power of God so that they can be the help to the pastor that God needs for them to be in order that the man of God, our pastor, can be what God desires for him to be and not be weighted down with so many of the other things that would weight just one single person down. So Paul, in the same way, Paul is guiding Timothy here at the church of Ephesus. And Paul is trying to encourage Timothy. Listen, Timothy, you can't do all this by yourself. If you'll remember in the book of Acts, we're going to look at some of this a little later today, but the book of Acts, they had situations that, man, the early church just couldn't handle by themselves, and they came together and they chose out seven men that would be full of the Holy Spirit of God, full of His power, that they could take those matters and they could help serve and they could help minister within the body of believers. And that's what they did. Those were the first deacons. And that's what we've patterned the deacon program here about. To be men of God, full of the Spirit, full of the wisdom of God. And that takes a special calling. Not everybody can be a deacon. Not every man can be a deacon. But you know what? God chooses and God helps select those. And God works with the pastor and giving him wisdom to know those men of God that can be trusted to do those things. There's so much to be accountable for. You not only have, you know, things going on in the church as far as things that need to be done. You got finances that need to be worked out. You've got all grades of things, ministries and things like that are happening. And the pastor needs good, godly men to help get some guidance from, to help get some handwork done from, okay, that he can't physically do. And so today, Paul is showing us about those men and how they're to be chosen, how they're to be set apart for that purpose in helping in the ministry of the church. If I were to ask you today, do you know a deacon's responsibilities within this church? Some of you would say, well, I think I know this or I think I know that. But there are several, and I just typed them out here today. But there are things here that, like the church budget. We have a church budget every year, and we go over this with the people. Every first Wednesday night, I think it is in December, we do this and get it ready, set up for the first part of the year. There's a budget that has to be done. And then, once that budget is established, they set up another budget with that, from that budget, to be able to set up for the missions and all the different ministries that go on in this church. And all the things that happen, they have to be accountable for that. They review major projects and initiatives for this church. We just got the roof done on this church. Man, there are quotes and problems and things that come up. This church was built back in 67 or somewhere around in that area. And man, it's been a lot of work that's had to be done on this. And things like that have to be taken care of. Quotes that have to be done, all kinds of reviews, and then coming back and getting the things started. You know what? Those deacons, those men of God, help set that up and get the things reviewed. They serve as trustees. They lead in sitting on our school board. Okay, we have a school here, some 300 plus students. Okay, and these men, some of these men are also board members of the school. And they help out with that and the direction it's going. Supporting the pastor and whatever else is needed in the church ministry. All of these things are involved in being a deacon. And it takes men of God that would be willing to spend time with God and work with the pastor. Now, none of these men are perfect. None of them. Just like the pastor, just like any of us, there's none of these men that are perfect. But you know what? They've been proven by God. And they've been in service. They've been full time, you know, serving in different areas. They've been doing things here in the church. Several of them do many things within the church body now. And I want us to look at this today. And I want you to see today, we're going to break the lesson down into several things. Number one, we're going to break it down into the deacon's duties. Okay? The deacon's duties. Now, we have a theme verse, and I didn't read that to you today. But our theme verse today is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And the lesson verse is this: for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you know what, men? And I want these men that are deacons in this church, I want you to understand something today too. It is a privilege to serve the Lord as a deacon. It's a privilege for you to be able to do what you do for God. Man, do it with all your heart. Do it with gladness in your heart. Do it with joy and service as unto the Lord in all that you do. I want to encourage you with that. I don't think there's any of you in here that would not do that, but I want to just encourage you again. Serve the Lord with gladness. And whatever you do, do it for the Lord. I lived in Winston-Salem, home of the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And I've seen some demon deacons, okay? All right? But you know what? We don't have that here. These men serve the Lord. They work together. And I'm thankful for that. And that's why God has a special calling for them. And it's described here in the Word of God. I want you to see this, okay? All right? God holds His leadership responsible for His church. And I'm thankful that they're willing to take that responsibility and to do it well. So let's look at it today. First of all, the duties of the deacons. Number one, I want you to see the mind of a servant. The mind of a servant. Okay? The overall mindset of a deacon is not just simply to be a person in great authority or somebody that comes in and says, well, hey, I'm going to show my power and everything like that. But he's going to be willing to be a faithful and humble servant for the Lord. Jesus said this over in Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 and 28. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It's no wonder that Paul wrote over in the book of Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the form or the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Savior had a humble spirit, a humble mindset. And you know what? We as Christians need to have that same mindset. We need to remember, listen, were it not for the grace of God, that could be you, that could be me. Many times I've seen folks really critical of people that are living in sin and they're living a lifestyle that's not very pleasing unto God. And I always think about this thought, man, were it not for the grace of God, were it not for that old Sunday school bus that used to come by and pick me up as a boy, I could still be living in sin. I could be in that same situation had I not had somebody faithful to come and teach me and tell me about the gospel. And listen, that's the mind of a servant. You see, greatness with God, it comes not from holding a high and lofty position in the eyes of men, but it comes from living a life of humble and faithful service unto the Lord. This is the mind of a true servant of God that desires to be used for His honor and for His glory. I've seen men that will pass out resumes, you know, and try to impress people with all the things that they do. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, I've done resumes when I was in the working world. I had to do that. I had to prove what I did for the Lord, you know, and what I knew what to do in the business world. But you know what? God uses that man of God that will just be faithful to say, you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. Whatsoever my hand findeth to do, I'm going to do it with all my might. And I'm going to serve Him with a heart that's set to do something for God. We see the mind of a servant. Then we look at number B, we look at the function of a servant. The one whom God chooses to be one of His servants will not only have the heart and mind of a godly servant, but He's going to display the actions of a humble servant. He's going to display that in action, okay? It's one thing to say something, but it's another thing to do it. And these men of God, they do what they say they're going to do. Now, in John chapter 13, the Bible said this. In John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, the Bible said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from the supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein He was girded. You see, Jesus set the example of being a servant. Now, I know there are churches down south that do foot washings, okay? They do foot washings, and the deacons help do foot washings in the church. And nobody washes my feet but me, okay? Don't you touch my feet, okay? I just don't like my feet to be touched by anybody. I don't even let my wife touch my feet. I'm super ticklish on my foot, okay? All right, so I just don't even mess with it. But listen, they set an example, and they were trying to imitate, so to speak, what the Lord did as a servant for God. They have old foot washings. That's what they do. But you know what? Listen, a servant is one that is willing to do whatever it takes to get the gospel to people and to help those that are growing in the Lord to continue to grow for the Lord. That's what a servant does. Jesus set that example of a humble servant, and He fulfilled that function well, as did the first deacons that we read about in the book of Acts. And I want you to look this morning at the book of Acts, chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. I want you to see where the first deacons were chosen and why they were chosen and what they did in the ministry there at the church. Acts chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The Bible said, and in those days, now we're talking about the days of the early church. The Spirit of God had come upon them. Thousands upon thousands, multitudes had been saved. The church was growing. It was filled with both Jews and Gentiles. Okay? And you got to remember, before salvation came to them, they were always button heads. Always. Jews, Gentiles. Always butting heads. But salvation brought a peace from God because the Spirit of God dwelt within them. But there's still a lot to overcome. And the Bible said here, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, talking about the disciples, those ones that were chosen to preach the gospel, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now what they're saying here is they were trying to minister to these people. They were trying to teach them. They were trying to be able to have time to study and to pray and to seek God's power in getting the word of God to those people that needed to hear it so they could grow in the Lord. They could be saved. They could hear the gospel and be saved. And what they're saying is, hey, listen, we're having to stop what we're doing, the main purpose of what God's called us to do, to take care of these other needs, to serve tables, to be servants and do these other things. And we can't do that. We just can't do it. And he said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. Now, why did the word of God increase? Why did it increase? Let me tell you why. Because they kept the main thing, the main thing. What was the goal of these men of God? It was to get the gospel everywhere. They were to take it from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you know what? When God gave them the wisdom to choose men of God, full of the Holy Spirit of God, that would be willing to help do these other things that needed to be done within a growing church, the Bible said the word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. Those Jewish priests, those ones that had denied that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, those that cried out and said, crucify him, let him be crucified, because the men of God kept the main thing the main thing, those men became obedient to the faith. They got saved. And you know what? That's the will of God, that none should perish, but that all might come to repentance. These men became servants, both of God and of the man of God. And because of this, the Bible said there in verse number 7 that the word of God increased. Listen, folks, when you keep the main thing, God blesses it. Amen? God blesses it. So each man knew his place within the ministry, and they fulfilled that function as unto the Lord. Now, these were the deacons that they chose, and these were the deacons' responsibilities. These were their duties, okay? But I want you to look now at how Paul describes their qualities. Back in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the church at Jerusalem sought out some men that would have certain qualities that would set forth their godly character, both in their heart and in the actions that they needed to perform within the church body. They weren't bickering. They weren't fighting. They weren't looking to have a set position over everybody. They were there to serve and to make sure that the Word of God was able to increase in that ministry. That's what their job was. But look at the qualities here in that chapter. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Look ye out, verse 3. Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They were to be of honest report. In other words, they were to have a good reputation among the people. All right? They were to be full of the Holy Ghost and filled with His power. And they were to be full of godly wisdom. Listen, when we have the deacons' meetings, the council meetings here, I think once a month, they all meet together. The first thing that they do, they pray and ask God for wisdom to help them to decide some of the matters, some of the things that need to be taken care of. You know, you got a building here that's more than 50 years old, okay? This year, our church will be 55 years old. This, as many of you remember, was the main auditorium. You see the little bulges coming up through the tiles. That's where the pews were cut off. Up there is where the baptistry was. The pulpit was over here. The choir loft was over there on that side. And everything faced this way. This was the original building, okay? It's been used for anything and everything through the years as the ministry grew. And God has blessed it. But there are things that have to be done. Maintenance has to be done. All kinds of things that have to be done. And then you got to find out, Lord, where's the money going to come from for that? And they have to pray that in. You know, we don't go out and have a yard sale to try to sell baked goods and have a pancake thing, you know, to get the money. God said, listen, if you'll tell folks how to get to heaven, I'll take care of getting folks to your church, okay? And that's what God has done here. So among the qualities, the Holy Spirit of God had the Apostle Paul write and give instructions to Timothy in those qualities that would be needed in the ministry of being a deacon, all right? Those qualities should be, number one, first of all, they should be personal qualities. Personal qualities. Every man that was chosen to be a deacon knew Christ Jesus as their own personal Savior. They had a testimony of that. Likewise, look at verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8. He starts out here saying, likewise, or in other words, just like the pastor, the bishop was to be spoken of previously, that we studied about, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Okay? First of all, they were to be grave. They were to be sincere. They were to be solemn in the duties that he would be assigned in the work of the ministry. Each of these men have different parts that they are responsible for in the ministry to help out. The man of God, the deacon, was not to be a careless one, but he was to be a careful one. His demeanor was to be respectful of God's calling upon his life and the duties that he was to fulfill during the time he's on the deacon board. He was to be responsible. He was to guard against certain things. Number one, being double-tongued. You know what that means, don't you? You say one thing to one person, you say something else to another person. Okay, double-tongued. All right? They're not to be that way. He's not to be hypocritical in his decisions. You know, he's not to say, Pastor, I love you, while he's stabbing him in the back with a knife, okay? All right? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Not supposed to be hypocritical in those conversations, his manner of living. He doesn't come to church on Sunday and then go to the bar room on Monday night, okay? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Not given to much wine. Meaning he, even as the pastor and the other leaders in the church body, was to abstain from all appearance of evil. They needed to abstain from that, okay? There, and I don't know if you do it up here. I assume they do it up here in the north, probably worse than they did it down south. But boy, some of the folks down there, the churches and the deacons and things like that, would buy liquor, alcohol to serve at communion. Okay? All right? And that's not biblical, folks. It's just not biblical. And they, even in Paul's day, there was confusion about this. Listen, we studied this the other week. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's what the Bible says. And those deacons were not to be given to that. Any sort of that use of alcohol would only lead to headache and heartache and sorrow in their life. And it ruins the testimony of the man of God, of the church ministry of God. Listen, it's not to be done like that. Then thirdly, the Bible said that he was not to be greedy of filthy lucre, meaning that the man of God did not, he was not to be controlled by his love for money. I had a man call me just a month or so ago, resigned the church where he was at, because the deacon board did not want to see the church growing anymore. The pastor wanted to set up a soul winning program in the church and bring in some new couples that had gotten saved, that had children. And this church was an old church. It was run by a family in the church and several families in the church, older families, been there since Noah's day. And they didn't want to change anything. And the pastor at their deacon's meeting sat down and said, we need to set aside some monies to build us a nursery and some Sunday school classes for these age groups so that we can be able to train those children, help the parents with their children when they bring them to church so that the parents can grow. And they had hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, this church did. But they had no desire for it to be used for anything, for the church ministry. And folks, that is love of filthy lucre. That's greedy of filthy lucre. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Thank God that we don't see things like that in this church. We do what we do. Somebody asked me the other day, well, y'all going to stop your bus ministry because the price of diesel now has gone up near $6 a gallon? And I told him, I said, well, our church didn't start the bus ministry because gas was cheap. They started it because there were people that needed to be able to come to church. And thank God that we still run buses on Sunday. Amen. We still have a good shepherd's group. We still have the ministries that we have. We still have Sunday school. I've heard people come in and say, oh, my Sunday school class is dirty, it's dirty, it's dirty. Well, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible talks about where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. Okay? Thank God for Sunday school kids. Thank God for bus kids. Thank God that we can have the opportunity to clean something that gets dirtied all during the week because we got people coming and hearing the gospel. Amen? Thank God for that. Then they were to be spiritual. Spiritual. They were to have personal qualities. They were to have spiritual qualities. Look at what he said. Holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. That's verse number 9. In other words, each and every man that God called to serve as a deacon within that church body, he was to have a certain spirituality about him that demonstrated not only his knowledge of God's word, but it was to be expressed in his own life, in his own personal and practical application of God's word in his life, and his obedience to that word from day to day. Listen, the deacons that we have, again, they're not perfect, okay? None of them are perfect, but they do practice what they say they believe. And I'm thankful for that. And you know what? Each one of us needs to hold on to that mystery of the faith, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what we've got to live. We've got to live it. We've got to teach it. And look at what he said. As a child of God, Paul's declaring that that man of God that God chooses to serve as a deacon, he's got to be one that does what he does in a pure conscience. Look at it. He said he holds to that mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, meaning that the work for the Lord is done in reaching others. It's done from the heart. And you know what? Men, what you do from a grateful heart. Because God did something great for you. Now you want to help this church to continue to do something great and teach people to do what they do for God from a grateful heart. My wife this morning, I was going to work on it tomorrow. Our little dog, she got nervous all during the storm. And every time we leave, now she's just real clingy. She's just scared to death of us leaving. And we were gone a little bit longer yesterday than what would normally be gone. And she had clawed at the door again. And man, there were wood chips everywhere. And I got to fix all that and get some stuff done. My wife this morning, I was going to fix it up and work on it tomorrow on my day off. And this morning, while I was working on some computer stuff that had to be done, she was upstairs sweeping it down. And I said, honey, I told you I was going to do that. She said, well, I just figured I'd go ahead and do it for you while you're working on some other stuff. She did what she did for me from her heart, okay, to help me. Now, she did that because she loves me. I'm the best husband she's ever had, okay? I'm the only husband she's ever had, but I'm still the best one, all right, right now. But you know what? Listen to me. That's the way our service ought to be unto the Lord. And men of God that have been chosen as deacons, you do what you do from your heart. You do it from a heart of gratitude unto the Lord. And then it's to be not only personal and spiritual, but it's to be public. It's to be seen. Look what the Bible said in verse number 10. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even as with the office of a pastor, the bishop, you remember we went over this, that pastor couldn't be a novice, couldn't just be a new convert. He couldn't lead the people that way. And it's the same way with a deacon. The deacon needs to be first proved that he's faithful to God. He's not one that just comes on Sunday morning, when the pastor says, hey, we're going to have a meeting after church or whatever, and then he's gone all the rest of the time. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody that has been proven to be found faithful within the ministry. Many of these men in here right now serve in other aspects of the ministry. Soul winning, bus visitation, bus routes, choir and things like that. The children's ministries on Wednesday nights. They serve in other areas. They've been found faithful to do what they do for the Lord from the heart. Then number D, look at it, verses 11 through 12, there was supposed to be a family characteristic about them. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Why was it important for these men to fulfill the same requirements that God called for the pastor to fulfill? Why was that needed? It was to be shown to the church as an example. As an example. Men, God uses you as an example. You may not realize it, but folks are watching you. As a child of God, listen, you may not be a deacon, a choir member, anything, but if you name the name of Christ, folks are watching your life. They're looking to see if there's something real about you, okay? When my neighbors watch, okay, they don't go to church, but they see us leave every week. Every time that we go to church, they know what time we're leaving. And they know what time we get back. I've got one neighbor that has helped me sometimes. Wednesday nights, I have to set my garbage cans out. And I got to walk about a third of a mile with them. Garbage cans and recycle bins up to the end of the road. And on Thursday, when the garbage people come, I get back late some nights from soul winning visitation. And one of the neighbors, sometimes he knows that. Okay, he doesn't want me visiting him, but he knows I go out and visit other folks. All right? And so he'll take his tractor and he'll bring them down and leave them sitting right in front of the garage for me. And you know what? I thank God for that. I thank God for that. That's a thing that he sees. He knows our family is serving the Lord. I'm thankful for that. But they were to be examples of that aspect. And then there were to be deacon benefits. Deacon benefits. That doesn't mean that the church pays for their retirement or pays them a salary or anything like that. They don't get that, okay? They don't get paid. But look what he said. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased themselves a good degree. and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Those who were selected, first by God, then by the man of God in the church, are blessed by God with certain spiritual rewards. You get rewards for being faithful. Listen, the book of Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1, I believe it is, says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Listen, I'd rather have a good name. I wouldn't want to be known as a demon deacon, okay? I'd want to be known as a serving deacon, one that was faithful to God. Why? Because they have used the office of a deacon well, and they purchased to themselves a good degree, great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, the privilege that one has to serve as a deacon, they earn to themselves a privilege. It's like a personal investment. When they stand before God, God says unto them, well done. You helped that pastor. You helped encourage that church to do what was right. They get a heavenly reward, but they also get a rich reward. Now think about this just a minute. Look at the last part of verse 13. And great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. When a man commits himself to God in all that he does, and he allows himself to be used of God and filled with the Spirit of God in the service that he gives, God rewards that man with boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Any of these men of God could be able to take the Word of God and show somebody how to be saved. Why? Because they've been filled with God's power to do that. Hey, listen, you and I are supposed to do the same thing. We're to pray each day to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost of God. But God fills them for a purpose. If you look over in the book of Acts at that first church, in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, I wrote these verses down for a reason. I was thinking about the persecution that they were going through. Our church gets some persecution. And these deacons find out about that, and they stand with the man of God. We're not doing the same-sex marriages. We're not doing all these other things that they want us to do just so we can keep a tax exemption, okay? All right? We don't do what we do to get a tax exemption, all right? God has blessed us with that. But you know what? If we don't have it, then we're still going to serve God. But the Bible said that when persecutions came over the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, the Bible said, and now, Lord, they prayed. They said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There are none of the men that I know of our deacons, that are ashamed of the word of God. God has given them boldness to stand before people in our city and things that go on within our county that have to be dealt with. And they've stood faithful for the word of God. And man, what we need to do as church family, we need to lift these men up in prayer. We need to be praying for them. We need to pray that they can continue to be filled with the power of God, that they can be helpers to the man of God and help our church continue in the work of God and in reaching the lost with the gospel. Amen. Servants selected to serve. That's what the deacons are to be. And men, I want to go on record today to tell you, thank you for what you do. Amen. Thank you for what you do. We love you. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. And I thank you, God, so much for this lesson that helps teach us some things that we may have taken for granted, Lord. We know we got deacons, but God, we forget to pray for them many times. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll bless these men. Help them, Lord, to be a bold witness for you in all that they do. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help them as they help our pastor and stand with him and guide him in things that need to be done in this ministry. Watch over our pastor now, God, as he stands to preach to us today. Fill him with your power, Lord, that he might speak the word of God boldly, and that people will hear it And if there be anyone here lost today that they've come to know you as their own personal Savior, and Father, we'll thank you for all you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being in class today. We love you.